everybody doing? I'm just going to push this forward a little bit. Everybody's going, what is that? This is my new poof. It's called a cow poof. Cowhide poof. Can you see it? It's really soft and comfy. How's everybody doing? Good. Well, I got a fun word for us. We're going to have some fun this morning in church. It's the last Sunday of the year. We're going to go and have some fun this morning. Is that all right? Cool. All right. Well, as you know, we've got two boys, a five-year-old, and Rocky is 2.5. So Judah's at school 5 days in the week. And when I'm not here, I'm at home with Rocky, looking after Rocky, and he is getting to that age now where he's giving up some of his daytime sleeps. And we know if you're a mother, you know that you go into mourning when the daytime sleeps are stopped because that's your favorite time of the day. I mean, my days, mostly on a Monday when I'm at home with Rocky, they look a little bit like this. I start off my day and I've got my list of things to do, and I always start on the easy jobs. I start on the stuff that's easy that I don't have to think about. So I just potter and I put this there and I move that there and I shift that from that place to that place. And maybe I'll go and do an errand or do something that's a bit fun, or we'll go on a little play date or something. And then we come home and I give Rocky his lunch and then I settle him in for his daytime nap. And then I do my favorite part of the day. I make myself my lunch and then I go over to the couch or the armchair and I just sit down and put my feet up just for a few moments, and I switch on the TV and I just take some time out for a few moments. And then I sit there and I begin to mentally go through the rest of my to-do list, and I begin to make plans as to how I could get out of doing all the things that still remain on my to-do list. Because once you get into this place, how many of you know that it's really hard to get up again? When you get into that place of comfort, it's really, really hard to get up again. Jake, will you come and help me this morning? Jake Borthwick, come on up. Come to the stage. Everybody, give him a round of applause, Jake. This is Jake Borthwick. The enthusiasm. Jake Borthwick, you work hard, right, Jake? Yeah. Jake, you scale buildings to clean windows, don't you? Yep. Jake, you will see Jake hanging from a window, from a building, a high building to clean. This is a hard-working man. He works hard. Come on. Do you live with mum and dad, or do you live in a flat, Jake?
Flat.
Jake, flat. So you have to cook your own meals. You cook your own meals?
Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah. Two-minute noodles?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jake's got to work, he's got to work a tough job, and he's got to cook his own meals. And do you do your own laundry, Jake?
Yeah.
He's got to do his own laundry. Do his own laundry. Jake, do you have chores in your flat?
Yeah.
Chores, yeah, jobs. Like the vacuuming, and he's got to keep his flat tidy and under control. He works hard. This guy, he's got a fiance. He's got to keep everything sorted for the fiance. Come on, Jake. I think you've worked hard enough. Why don't you come and take a seat over here on my armchair? Take a seat there. There's a Coke there for you, mate. There's some chippies. Are you comfortable? Yeah. Can I make you? This might make you a little bit more comfortable. It's a TV remote. There you go. Just relax back there. Do you know, when we get into this place, team, sometimes it's really hard to get up again, but do you know what? I kind of think that even though it's hard to get off the couch at home when you're watching TV and you've worked hard and you just want to relax, in life, do you know what? Sometimes we can get into this kind of place as well. Sometimes in life we can get into this kind of place and it's hard to get up again. Let me show you what I mean. Jake, stand up. So Jake, as I said before, has got a fiance, but when he first met Kimmy, he would have had to, like, pursue her to catch her, right? Don't correct me if I'm wrong. Just go with me, okay? He would have had to pursue Kim. There would have been love letters. There would have been flower buying. There would have been romantic dinners, right, Jake? There would have been, you know, spontaneous dates. You know, songs. He would have sung, written songs to Kim to win her heart over. You joined the gym, right, Jake? Joined the gym so he could work out and be strapping for Kim. And then he proposed to her, and she said yes. And they're going to be getting married later on next year in 2016. Jake, you got the girl, man. Take a seat. You deserve it. You got the girl. Put your feet up. Put your feet up. You got the things there. You deserve it. But, Jake, you know what the problem is here? And this is the problem. This is the issue. This is what can happen. See, Jake gets married in a couple of months' time. And what can happen here is that he's got the girl. You can relax now, Jake. See, sometimes the poems will stop coming and the flowers stop coming. And maybe the gym membership gets a little bit unused. And he's going to have some good home cooking and baking from his new wife. And I don't know, it doesn't look like it now, but I don't know. You should maybe keep up that gym membership if the cooking's real good. But you know what? We can sometimes, in our place of comfort, become a little bit complacent. And we relax back into our big, fat, comfy couch, and we take a seat in the seat of complacency. And where once we held passion and zeal for something and we pursued it passionately, we suddenly become a little bit complacent and a little bit relaxed and a little bit chill. And the problem is that when we get into that place, it's really hard to get up again. Can we thank Jake? Thank you, Jake. Lovely. It's really hard to get up again. Now, there's nothing wrong with a rest. There's nothing wrong with rest. In fact, we're all about to head off onto some good summer holidays and enjoy the sun and the sunshine and the beach and all of that because we've worked hard this year. But the truth is that there's nothing wrong with a rest. It's just sometimes it's really hard to get back from that place again. And sometimes we can allow comfort zone to let complacency settle in our lives. And where once we were passionate about something, we come a little bit complacent, where maybe it's in our workplace. We used to be passionate about it. We used to be excited. We used to have a drive. And now we only do what we need to do to get by because that's all we're paid to do. And we don't do anything more because we've lost our drive and we've lost our zeal. Maybe it is in your marriage where you've lost the spontaneity out of your marriage. You've lost the flame and the flare that used to be there, and we're just kind of, you know, existing and we've kind of stopped dating and all of those things, and we've lost the passion. We've become a little bit complacent maybe, or maybe, can I say, maybe some of us are sitting in church this morning in this place, and perhaps we're only here because that's what we always do, and that's what we've always done, and we've lost the passion and the drive and the zeal that once existed for the house of God. But what my job is this morning, and what I want to do at the start of 2016, the end of 2015, is I want to give you a loving Jesus-wrapped boot out of the big, fat, comfy couch of complacency. Because, church, I got to tell you, I don't know what your years looked like in 2015. I don't know what it's become for you. I don't know if you're sitting at the end of this year and you're maybe feeling a bit disappointed with the year that's been. Maybe you're at the end of this year and you're feeling a little bit like, you know how they say it? Blah. You know? Like you just kind of feel like it didn't quite work out how you'd hoped it would work out. Or this sort of year's not really looked like you hoped it would. Maybe your job's just not really, you know, like you wanted it to be. And maybe your marriage just isn't in the place that you'd hoped it would be. And maybe there's something going on in your life and you're just not feeling like it's where it should be. Well, there's no better place to start than today and a new year to begin to pursue your purpose passionately. And that's what I want to inspire and encourage you to do this morning, is to step out of that seat of complacency, that big, fat, comfy couch that we can sometimes relax ourselves back into, and step into pursuing our purpose passionately. Are you with me? All right, because sometimes when we get into that place, it's really, really hard to get up again. But when I think about complacency, I cannot, and comfort zones, I can't go past the Israelites, right? I can't go past the Israelites, man. Their story is like comfort zone and complacency move one after the other. They just all relax and on the big fat comfy couch at sometimes. And there's the story in Numbers where we see Moses sends 12 spies into the promised land to scout it out and bring back a report. Now, this is a people who've just spent 400 years in generational slavery. I mean, that's got to be like, who wants to do that? But they did it, and now they're looking forward into the promised future that God has for them. It's, you know, it's full of hope and it's bright. And yet when he sends 12 spies in to, you know, scout out the land and bring back a report so that they can make a game plan, things don't really go as I think Moses would have hoped. You see, when the report comes back, most of the guys, 10 out of 12, bring back a report that says, nah, we can't do this. This is not going to happen. See, this is what they say in Numbers, we're at 14 verse 25 there. It says, we entered the land you sent us to explore, and indeed it is bountiful country, land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the fruit, the kind of fruit it produces, but the people living there are powerful and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants living there. Skip down to verse 30. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with them disagreed. We can't go against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread a bad report among the Israelites. The land we have traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw there were huge. We even saw giants there. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. You see, here is a people who I think, rather than stepping into a promise and a purpose that carried great hope and a great future, allowed creature comforts to steal away from them the future that God had from them. Because they were more comfortable in a not so great past and too afraid to step out of that into something that was unknown, but certainly more hopeful than what we're into. See, for you and I sitting here knowing the end of the story, the choice is like a no-brainer, right? We're like 400 years of generational slavery in Egypt versus a land flowing with milk and honey. Like, it's like, why do you even need to ask the question? And yet for the Israelites, the years in Egypt seemed way more appealing because it was comfortable. It was what they knew. They knew the slavery gig. They knew how to be slaves. By then it had become second nature. It was generational inside them. They knew what to do. They knew what time things happened. They knew how to act. They knew how to be. And yet this unknown thing to them seemed scary, and their complacency and their comfort zone stopped them from entering in. Listen to what they say in Numbers 14. It says, then the whole community began weeping aloud and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus to protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Listen, wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted against themselves. Let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. You see, while the future for these Israelites had been promised by God as being hopeful, the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, this was the promise. But creature comforts and a fear of the unknown stopped them from stepping forward. Instead, they took a seat in the big, fat, comfy couch into the seat of complacency because it was what they knew and it was easier than trying to pursue something they didn't quite know. I can remember a few years ago, Mum got a new cell phone. And my mum is a little bit technically challenged. She's doing really well though. She knows how to email. She can send, sometimes she can even send attachments, I think. And she can do some PowerPoints and she's got her texting down. But Mum became an opportunity. Mum's old Nokia phone, you know, it was just a phone. All she could do was text and make phone calls. Went to be with Jesus and it died. And so she needed a new phone. And so before she went, I said, Mum, perfect opportunity. You could get a smartphone. You could email on your phone. You can take photos on your phone. Mum, you could even video the grandkids on your phone. I'm like, Mum, it's a whole new world out there. So she goes to Vodafone with Dad. And she comes home from Vodafone. And I said, cool, Mum, show me your new phone. Do you know what she pulled out? Just a phone just like the old phone. Just got another Nokia where she could text and make phone calls. See, what? Even though the potential opportunity that was before her with a smartphone sounded like a good idea and the doors would open, it would be a whole new world. The comfort of what she knew was much easier to face than the fear of the unknown of what she didn't know. You see, sometimes fear can cause us to step back into a seat of complacency and stop us from pursuing our purpose passionately. And I don't know what it might be. Maybe you're afraid of getting it wrong. Maybe you're afraid of messing it up. Maybe you're afraid of what you're going into. Or maybe it's actually more about fear of what you're leaving. But sometimes fear can stop us. But you know what? It's so important for us to grasp this morning. We've got to start pursuing our purpose passionately. Why? Because it points us towards the promised land. It points us towards the purpose of God. It takes us to what He's got for us and the change, world changes that He's got us to be. You see, we need to overcome our complacency. We need to give ourselves a friendly boot out of this comfy couch and into a world of passion and zeal and fervent for God. See, there are three things that I think we can do this morning, and I want you to write them down. If you've got a phone with you, tap it into your phone. If the notes there, write it down. See, the first thing that we can do to overcome complacency this morning is to make passion your choice. Make passion your choice. See, there's a scripture that I absolutely love in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. It says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that the same faith continues strong in you. But listen, in verse 6, it says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. See, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but we need to fan into flames. See, the words fan into flames actually stir in us an action. You know, it's a verb. It's a doing word. We got to do something. We got to fan. We got to physically do something. When it speaks of fire, it speaks of zeal. It's about fanning into flame. It's about doing something that's going to light that fire inside of you. That's going to stir that zeal up that you once had, that passion that you once had for Christ, that passion that you once had for the purposes that He has for you. We got to fan it into flame. We got to make it a choice every day to become passionate about the things of God again, to become passionate about your job. You know, maybe for you it's about waking up in the morning and choosing to be passionate about the job you're walking into. We don't just walk into it like ho-hum, oh yeah, just another day in the office, you know, but actually, come on, I'm gonna not just do what's required of me, I'm gonna go above and beyond. I'm gonna do this job with zeal, I'm gonna do this job with passion, because the Bible calls me to work faithfully, so I'm gonna do that with passion and with zeal, and I'm gonna show my employees what it means to live for Christ and be a follower of God. I'm going to stand out from the rest. Come on, I'm going to show Christ to them through my workplace. You got to choose passion. You know, maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe you got to wake up in the morning and go, you know what? I'm going to choose to throw all my passion into my marriage. I'm going to light that. I'm going to fan into flame the fire that was once there between us. I'm going to start to do something. Do something. You know, you got to take action. You got to do something. Plan a date night. Be spontaneous. Come on, you got to fan into flame the passion that was once there. Maybe for you, it's to do with church. Maybe walking into this place, you got to determine, actually, before I walk through these doors, I'm going to make passion my choice. And I'm going to come into this place and I'm going to be passionate about being in God's house. And I'm going to make this place the very thing that fires me up and causes a new zeal to come alive inside of me. And hey, when I go outside these doors, I'm not just going to forget about church, but hey, I'm going to be passionate about my church in my community, and I'm going to get enthusiastic about telling other people about my church, and I'm going to invite them along because I actually want to be in my church. So come on, it's about choosing passion. So many people come to us on a Sunday and they say to us, man, I wish I had your passion and your energy. You know, I don't just wake up and sprinkle fairy dust on myself and I'm passionate. It's a choice I make every day. I wake up in the morning, I feel tired on the inside. Sometimes I have a headache and I don't feel like it. But you know what? I choose passion. I choose it. I choose it. And I do stuff every day that makes the zeal come alive again, and I fan it into flame. We've got to choose. Make passion your choice. The second thing we've got to do is we've got to get around passionate people. We've got to get around passionate people because, you know what? Passion is contagious. It's contagious. It's very much like chicken pox. Steve and I make a deliberate decision every year to go to a place, whether it's a conference, a church service, where we are going to find passionate people. Because the reality is, church, you do go through seasons that drain your passion. You go through seasons that make you feel tired. You go through seasons that make you go, bah. You know what I mean? Like, you're there sometimes. These things can happen. But Steve and I, we plan into our calendar times where we know we're going to need it. We know we're going to need that visit to a passionate place. And so we plan it in. And so we go. Last year we went to, this year we went to Arise Conference. Man, there's like passion. They've got passion fairy dust, I'm sure. Like, you go through there and the car park people are passionate. And the ushers, they're opening the doors, passionately flinging those doors open. The people checking the bands, passionately checking your bands. You know, everyone taking up the offering. They're so passionate and excited about taking up the offering. You would have thought it was like the offering for the queen. You know, like, they're just passionate. And so we come back from a conference like that. And guess what? We're feeling pretty passionate too, because passion is contagious. You know, they have a chicken pox parties. Have you heard of a pox party? You know, where your kid's got chicken pox and you want the other kid to get chicken pox so they don't get it as an adult, so you throw a pox party and you invite all the kids in the neighborhood to come and catch chicken pox. You're looking at me like I'm a lunatic. Have a passion party. Get all the people in your world, you know, like, make sure you plan into your life times where you can get around passionate people so you can catch it. So you can catch the passion. It's contagious. Get around passionate people. Make passion your choice and get around passionate people. The last thing we can do to overcome complacency in your life is to go back to where it all began. Go back to where it all began. Where did it start for you, man? Where did it start for you? Where did the passion first get a light inside of you? Where did the flame first get lit? You know, maybe it's a little bit of a smolder right now, but there was a place where once it was a burning bonfire. You know, where is that place? What happened for you? What were you doing? You know, what did that look like for you? What were you involved in? What was it that really set your flame alight for Christ? What is it that really stirs you? You know, sometimes we have to go back to the place where it all began to keep our focus, the main focus. We need to go back to where it all began. You know what? I look at our young people and I think, man, they're crazy, but they're passionate. You know, I think maybe we need to regain some youthful passion in our lives. You know, I think back to when we were youth pastors. It was only 5 years ago, and I thought young people were crazy then, but we've been back to some youth services before with Frosty and Darcy, and man, they're crazier now than they've ever been before, young people in this place. You know, they're just like, but this place gets filled on Friday night with passionate young people who are a little bit crazy. You know, hold on to your seats, people, because there have been times where there has been a frozen chicken flung through that screen. I know, it's crazy. There have been many moments where young people have been flung across the stage on moving office chairs. There have been holes in walls and burn marks in carpets and broken windows because of a passionate group of young people pursuing Christ together. And it's crazy and it's frustrating for people like us who have to get it fixed and pay for it to get fixed. But you know what? There may be broken windows, there may be chickens through the projector screen. But if it's a room filled with passionate young people who've got a zeal for Christ in their heart, then I tell you, we don't mind a few broken windows and a few holes in walls, because we want to see passionate young people who've got a zeal for Christ, who are going to fan into flame a fire that's inside of them. Maybe some of us need to regain some youthful passion in our lives. Come on, church, why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning? I was listening to the radio not that long ago, and there was a competition that could be won. And I just was reminded of this morning as I was preaching in the first service. And the competition was, it was pretty cool. It was like a trip to Sydney, flights and accommodation paid for, and like $1,000 spending money to see some pop star, I don't know, Taylor Swift, she'll do. It was a cool prize for a person who likes Taylor Swift. It was cool. Like, it was like flights and accommodations. It was a big prize, thousands of dollars. And the person who won it on the phone, they said, yeah, you've won this prize. And they told everything. She was like, oh, sweet, thanks. I'm like looking at the radio going, in my car going, what are you like? Come on, get excited. You just won this awesome prize. You could at least get passionate about that. I don't know what it is about us Kiwis. No, we chill and we relax and we're she'll be right. But come on, would you get passionate about something, please? You know, I'm from the UK, and so we go back home to the UK and we go to Loftus Road and watch QPR play football. That's our team. And you know what? They're crazy. They're absolutely crazy. They dress up and they paint their faces and they're singing silly songs. But you know what? They're passionate. They're passionate. Yes, it's about football, but church, why don't we get passionate about Jesus this morning? Why don't we get passionate about the cause of Christ and our community? Come on, I want to encourage you this year, 2016. Why don't you make it the year where you pursue your purpose passionately? Passionately. I mean, come on, make it a resolution. I'm not really into resolutions. But make it a resolution this year. If last year didn't go so well for you, hey, maybe change some stuff. Maybe change some stuff. Do something about it. Choose passion. Choose passion. Get around some passionate people in 2016. And hey, why don't you go back? Take the holidays to go back to where it all began. Come on, we're going to finish with a praise song. Can we do that? Come on, let's lift our hands. Let's give God some praise this morning. Let's get a little bit enthusiastic about the one who came to save, right? Come on, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. God, we thank you, Lord, that you're a God who's got purpose for us. You've got a future for us. You've got a promise for each and every one of us. And God, we're excited about it, Lord. We are going to be passionate about it. Jesus, I pray that you would take every fire. I don't know whether there are smoldering fires in this room, whether they've completely gone out, but would you take the fire inside of us, Lord, and would you fan it into flame? Would you light a fire inside us again, Lord Jesus? We want our zeal back for you. We praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.